Welcome to Dear Runner Bod, the pod dedicated to helping you embrace your runner's body. I'm Serena Marie RD, a registered dietitian and body image coach who wants you to stop dieting and start fueling the athlete within. While I am a medical professional, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure. Now, let's start rewriting your body's story. Today, I had my friend Sam come back on the podcast. You have met her before in a previous episode where we really talked to her more so about her dietitian perspective. But today, she's coming back on the podcast more so putting on her body neutral personal trainer hat. And we're really going to dive into my juicy story that I shared a few weeks ago when I told you about how I went to the gym and the personal trainer did a body assessment on me and told me to lose 12 pounds. So we're going to kind of get her take, her feedback, some advice about how to handle feedback from personal trainers if you have a similar situation, and also just really, I think, get some like eye-opening perspective on why personal trainers say these things, what it actually means when they say these things. I don't know. It was just like a really powerful episode where we kind of started at one place, which was kind of like encouraging you to stop giving your power away to the scale or these personal trainers or these in-body assessments. And then we kind of arrived at this place where it really came full circle. And I think you're going to feel really like empowered to actually have the confidence to dismiss useful information like your body, in-body personal trainer assessment scan. I don't even know what to call this thing. I keep like jumbling my words every time I try and talk about it. But before we have Sam back on, I do want to just share a little bit about her just in case you forgot. So Sam is a registered dietitian. She's a personal trainer. She is the founder of AAA Wellness in Cleveland, Ohio. And her mission is really to empower people to live their best lives through movement and balanced nutritional practices. She does have her master's in food science and nutrition, as well as a BS in kinesiology and movement studies. So my point being, like when we're talking about personal training and fitness and movement today, she really knows what she's talking about. She has over 12 years of experience in the fitness industry. She has worked in multiple modalities with hundreds of clients. She has coached over 2,000 classes at Orange Theory, and she prides herself on creating a safe and inclusive space for clients, working with people of all shapes, sizes, and backgrounds. So I really am excited for you to have her perspective and really get like another way of viewing, the personal training assessment, body image experience that I know so many people have left feeling very scarred from. However, before we have Sam back on, we do need to do this week's review of the week. Review of the week is your chance to win a free, valuable, super juicy masterclass from moi. So if you are a runner who is training for an event and you need help with intra-run nutrition and intra-run hydration, guess what? There's a free masterclass you can win about that simply by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you are struggling with your body image, if you have sugar cravings, crazy sugar cravings that you cannot control, and you would like to win a free masterclass to help fix them, you can do that simply by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. So open up Apple Podcasts, scroll down, you're going to see all those stars, you're going to hit 5 stars, you're going to type a few sentences to leave a review. This not only is entering you into the weekly chance to win a free masterclass. And by the way, the chances of winning are like 100% because I don't get that many reviews. So just being real with you. And also, it helps to boost the algorithm's possibility of sharing the podcast to future people. So you're really spreading our message, which I think is even more important than giving you a free masterclass. This week's winner is Dural Houdini's 912. So Dural, please make sure you message me on Instagram to claim your free masterclass. Dural said, "Serena rocks. This information is so needed in this world of toxic diet culture. Thank you, Serena, for sharing your knowledge and making sure we are living our best athlete lives by eating and living. Amazing podcast. Highly recommend for anyone who is an athlete. I've binge listened to all these episodes over the last few weeks, and it's so welcome." So thank you, Dural Houdini's. That was so lovely. I am smiling so big right now. now. I appreciate you so much. And I am excited to share my free masterclass of your choosing with you. So just send me a DM at Serena Marie RD on Instagram to claim your prize, or email me serena@serenamarierd.com. Okay, let's dive into today's interview. Hello, welcome to another episode of Dear Runner Bod. I have Sam on the podcast again today. Hello, Sam.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here again.
Yay. So Sam, if you remember from a previous episode, she is an RD. She is a body neutral personal trainer. She works at Orange Theory Fitness. We have similar niches. And the reason Sam is actually visiting again today on the pod is because I was sharing a story on Instagram about my experience going to a gym and getting an in-body personal training assessment, and how that experience was for me. And Sam just kind of started blowing up my DMs, and we were like, okay, we need to maybe talk about this publicly, because especially Sam as a personal trainer, I think has like a really valuable insight. So just as a quick recap, if you missed my previous episode where I kind of talked about this, I joined a gym, I got this like free personal trainer assessment. If I completed it, it was going to lower my monthly gym membership. So of course I wanted to do that. They, hooked me up to the in-body scan assessment. You like step on this machine and you hold onto a bar with a magnet. And then they like scanned my body and they, you know, printed out this piece of paper that basically told me I need to lose 11.5 pounds from my trunk. And just basically the trainer started like, you know, telling me all these reasons that I needed to kind of set these goals for myself around losing weight in order to be healthier or in order to be closer to the quote unquote average. So now you're all caught up on the story and why Sam and I were kind of connecting over this. So Sam, as a body neutral personal trainer, I'm kind of curious about like what is your opinion of doing these body scans? Like, is this a standard practice for you?
For me personally, definitely not. It's definitely not something that I use with my clients at all. I don't even have a scale or anything in my gym that I train clients in, and I don't even ask them questions about weight or what their goals are in terms of that. If they bring it up, you know, naturally, that's one thing, but I really come from a place of like training people to get strong and feel empowered. And if we track anything, it's like the PRs of numbers that we hit within like a barbell set or something like that. But that being said, this is very standard, unfortunately, for the world of gyms, especially when we talk about like bigger box gyms, like your Golds, your Crunches, your Equinoxes, like where trainers are very much like instructed to use these sessions as a tool to hook people into personal training. Or in your sake, it was to lower your monthly membership, right? So then this trainer is seeing this as this opportunity of like, oh my God, I get to work with this woman. Oh, she needs to lose weight. Let me dive into this. This is a great way for me to sell personal training to her without really knowing a lot more of the story. And it's very much one of those things that like I feel like needs a systemic change within the fitness industry, because it's very much something that a lot of new trainers who, keep in mind, are coming from potentially high school. Like they might not even have a college degree. This might be their first job. This is what they're told is the system to getting clients, is to do these free assessments, have them do this, and these are the steps that we take, and then it will yield this result. So it is definitely something that we see a lot, and it's not something that I'm a big fan of, but I can see how it can be. Anyway, so understanding it from that perspective too.
Yeah, no, and I'm kind of happy you brought up how like sometimes it's just this like almost innocent, presentation of the information, right? Like you said, like the person who did my personal training assessment, I don't think he necessarily was, you know, a bad person. You know, when I eventually kind of like told him, hey, I'm a dietitian, I actually like have a lot to say about this experience, he was very like receptive and open to learning and asking questions. So
which is
I just
amazing.
Want to put that out there. Like he wasn't like sitting there like trying to make me feel bad about myself. I really think this was just kind of like from his perspective, hey, this is such helpful information. This lady probably wants to know this about herself.
Yes, exactly. And so often it's like what is taught to personal trainers to you. So like every gym I ever worked at, like as a personal trainer, your initial assessments, you're very much taught to like take them through what's called like a parcue of like questions on goals, whatever, you know, medical stuff, and then have them get on a scale, right? And this is something that's been within the industry standard for such a long period of time. And it's something that trainers aren't necessarily given education on body neutrality or, you know, health at every size or non-weight or even weight stigma, right? They're literally only taught what is in the book. Then you get somewhere, and if this has been their practice for many, many years, you're not going to see a trainer necessarily maybe feel confident enough to step out and not do that. And so it's something that is like unfortunately very systemic. I think it needs change. And I think there's a lot of ways as clients we can, you know, if that's not the experience you want, there's things that we can certainly do. But just it's been an industry, I think, unfortunate standard for so long, but it's something that certainly needs change that I hope to see change in the future.
Do you think like if someone's sitting there and they're like, you know, it doesn't really bother me. Like, I don't care if they give me this data, like whatever, I don't take it personally. Like, do you see any harm in sharing that kind of data or information with somebody, even if they maybe don't feel like emotionally rocked by it?
I think it can be used as a helpful tool. Like the InBody specifically, which is one that goes off of bioelectrical impedance, it's going to give you a lot more information than, say, just the scale. It is one that's going to show you skeletal muscle mass. It's going to show you water. It's going to show you, you know, limbs in terms of their musculature and their evenness. And for some people, they can take that information, accept it, and move on, right? I know at Orange Theory, like, we have it as something that is available to clients. It is not mandatory. It is available to them if they want to do it. And, you know, I have people who say, like, I've been lifting a lot and I want to see the changes in skeletal muscle mass. Okay, well, it can then be used as a tool potentially, but it doesn't always paint the whole picture. There's like so many factors that go into it on any given day, whether it's like hydration status or like even like have you peed recently? What did you eat? For women, are you menstruating currently? Like there's a lot of other factors that go into it. So it can be just a number. So I think it can be used usefully, but I don't think it has to be the only predictor that we have for setting goals and for progress and whatnot. But it can be if it's something that you feel that works for you.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful to like look at it from both sides of the coin, right? Like there are some people that maybe really, I know like I work with runners, runners love data, runners love numbers. And I think sometimes that can almost be like a bad thing to our detriment. But you know, I just want to kind of like paint the picture of like, if you find it motivating to watch your skeletal muscle go up and you take it with a grain of salt, you realize that this isn't like 100% accurate. We just want to kind of make sure we're not giving our power away to the scale or the InBody machine, where if you walk into that assessment and you're feeling really proud of yourself and really good about yourself, and then you get this piece of paper from the InBody assessment and all of a sudden now you feel crushed, you know, that's where we want to kind of like get curious about like, is this actually a tool that's helping me versus maybe a tool that's just kind of demotivating me?
1,000%. And I think looking also at like the timeline that you're using this tool, I think sometimes people do it like within 8 weeks or 12 weeks, not realizing that like building muscle takes like years to see like huge change, like pounds of change. So like changes could be very, very minute, but that doesn't mean you're not getting stronger. That doesn't negate all the hard work that you're doing in the gym or outside the gym or what have you. And so just like keeping in mind, it's just like one tiny little piece of the puzzle. It's not everything. And that it takes time.
I actually really am happy you said that and you pointed that out, because I think like everyone is guilty of that, right? Like we get like really gung-ho and excited about something and then like you want the immediate results. Like I think that's a very human personality trait. But I know like a lot of times I'm talking to my female runners who are in perimenopause or menopause, and they're really noticing, you know, loss of musculature. They're really noticing loss of endurance. Sometimes maybe they're noticing like their sex hormones are kind of out of whack. And like a thing I'll always encourage them to do is to lift. So yeah, so I appreciate like kind of just that reminder of these changes don't take 8 weeks or 3 months. Like, I'm so proud of you if you stay consistent in the gym for 3 months, but like you might really need to be doing this for a year or plus before you start to really notice like the big significant difference. And we can't necessarily rely on the in-body to capture those minute changes in the meantime.
1000%. Yeah. But just
what
like,
about Sam? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just know that strength training does amazing things for your body, like no matter what, like mental health, everything. I could talk about that forever, but like it is, there are so many benefits to it, but yes.
Yeah, no. And so like, I'm really happy we're saying this, right? It's like, if you're doing it for the external validation from the machine, you know, get curious about like, well, what is it? Well, tell us about it. Like you said, you could talk about this forever. Like, what can we look for instead of like validation from the scale or the in-body assessment? Like, what other kind of factors do you use with your clients as a body neutral personal trainer to encourage people sticking with it?
Yeah. So A, like strength training in general, like does make you stronger if you're progressively overloading, meaning you're lifting heavier, adding reps, you know, adding resistance, all that good stuff, you're going to get stronger. And just from doing it in general, you will. I think also with strength training, it makes you feel more confident because you see that your body can do hard things. Like literally, I was talking to a client about this. He's like, I never really thought about the fact that like when you're in the gym, you are actively putting your body under stress of something hard. Like you are willingly doing something challenging and then you're showing yourself that you can do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's like literally my whole thing is that like it's resiliency training. Like you're training yourself for all the hard stuff that we face outside the gym or what have you. And it gives you confidence because when you see yourself like bench pressing, you know, 30 pounds, you're like, oh, wait, yeah, I can lift up my bag and put it in the overhead compartment in the gym or whatever it might be. And so I think there's those components of it. But then like actually from a metabolic perspective, like you do build muscle, which your body then does need more energy. You're also, it's great for your blood pressure because it's forcing your body to spread blood throughout your body. So it's great for your heart as well, because again, your body has to send blood to all those muscles. So cardiovascular, you still get cardiovascular benefits, prevents injuries. It, again, like all those benefits. Mental health, I think, is huge. I know for me, lifting becomes very meditative that I kind of like, I always tell people like I black out when I lift. If I just get in the zone of like counting my reps, then I don't really think about anything else. So it can be wonderful for your mental health. Again, like anything from just increasing that resiliency, it really increases your confidence. You feel good about yourself. When you see that you're lifting like heavy weights, or even if it's whatever weights, you're like, oh wait, I can do whatever. So sense of confidence. Muscle, like there's so many great, wonderful benefits of it. It's fun. I think it's a great way, like it's very fun. Yeah. I've met a lot of people that way. There's certainly a community around it. So there's lots of great reasons to lift weights.
Yeah. And I kind of love that so many of the reasons you listed are more of these like internal validation tools, right? Like I feel more confident. I feel happier. I'm having fun. Like, you know, like it doesn't always need to be like a machine saying like, check, you're doing a good job. Like we can reach within ourselves and just be like, hey, do I leave the gym smiling and in a good mood? This is healthy for me. Like it can literally be that simple. You know, I'm like waving my Apple Watch around on the screen as I'm talking to you. And I think as a society, we get so keyed into, is my Apple Watch telling me I closed my rings? Is my fitness pal telling me I ate the right food? Is my personal training trainer telling me my in-body assessment is good? Like we can just like kind of check in with ourselves and trust ourselves.
1000%. And ultimately, like you actually know yourself best and know what feels good and what works for you. And there's nobody else who can tell you that. And even if you think you don't, somewhere deep down are those gut instincts. You just have to kind of listen for them and look at them. But really, like, you know your body best and you know what works well for you. Like, I love running, but to me, I'm probably not going to run a marathon. That to me just sounds so miserable right now. Like, I love that it's for you and that you love that. That's amazing, right? And if you were to be like, Sam, you should go run a marathon, I'd be like, girl, I cannot. I just can't. Like, it's a no, right? But that's okay. I know what works best for me, just as you know what you enjoy the most and what you like.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think that does take like practice and reps and like experience to get there. But like, no matter where you are in your fitness journey, even if you just started exercising consistently yesterday, like, I don't want you to give your power away. Like, I want you to be like, ask yourself those questions Sam was saying. Like, does this make me feel proud of myself? Does this make me feel happy? Like, those are the things that we are searching for in order to find like a consistent fitness routine. And, you know, that was kind of like a major ick for me when I was getting my in-body scan like feedback. Was so much of it was the personal trainer kept saying, like, in order to get your trunk body fat percentage closer to average, like, you need to lose weight. Like, this is what we need to do to get this to be closer to average. And I'm like, I'm not interested in what's the average. Like, I'm interested in like what makes Serena feel good. Like, I'm an individual here. Like, it was so weird for him to keep bringing up like, this is how we're going to make you be closer to the average. And I'm like, what? Like, it was just like, I don't even know. It felt so icky to me.
It also doesn't even really make sense because A, you can't spot reduce. Like, so like, it doesn't mean that would even happen. And number two,
can you explain what that means? Like, what do you mean when you say you can't spot reduce?
Essentially, you can't really pick where your body loses or gains weight. Like, it just happens. Strength training, while yes, you can train certain body parts to get stronger, like you can lift, do bicep curls, right? You could do quad extension. And ideally, we are working those muscles to get them stronger and they may grow or hypertrophy, if you will. But there's always going to be other muscles involved as well that are assisting it or working synergistically together. But you can't necessarily decide, oh, well, I'm just going to extract the fat from here or from wherever. Like, your body doesn't really work that way, as in like complete isolation like that. So yes, lifting will help to make those muscles stronger and will help to build lean muscle, but you can't necessarily just pick and choose where we lose fat from or gain it.
So diets can't reprogram your genetic coding?
Yeah, no.
And it's like such a stupid question, but it's also like what you're being sold is like, you can spot reduce, right? Like, yeah, I'm so happy you said that. I think I totally interrupted you, but no, that was good. So valuable.
Well, that part, and like from an individualized perspective as a trainer, like, he should have asked you like, oh, Serena, what else do you like to do? Oh, I'm a runner. Okay, boom, her legs need to be strong. Not only am I a runner, I'm an endurance runner. Okay, she's going to have strong legs. Like, it wouldn't even make sense to like try to, it just doesn't make sense, that response. And again, he's probably like a newer trainer, like just learning. He's probably just going off like a script or somewhere, yeah. Like benefit of the doubt. But like, it's not even an individualized really approach that would work with like even you coming in. If you were coming to me and I knew that, I'd be like, wait, duh, like her legs should be stronger.
Yeah. And you know, something like, I don't want to make this whole conversation about like me and my experience, but something that actually just popped into my head. So I'm pregnant, and I was pregnant when I did this assessment with this trainer, but I just went for like my first pelvic floor PT with a therapist. And so she was assessing my core, AKA my trunk, which was like my problem zone, according to this personal trainer and this in-body scan. And, you know, the therapist I was just with was kind of, I mean, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but she was singing my praises. She's like, right. Damn, you have a really strong core. Like, for a pregnant woman, I'm really impressed. You can do X, Y, Z. And so I just think it's so funny that this dude is like going on and on about my trunk having too much fat versus this physical therapist was focusing on like, I mean, you know, we didn't talk about how much fat I have on my body. She's just like, look what your core can do. Look what your trunk can do. And so it's just so fascinating how, you know, if this assessment had happened when I was 25, I would have been, you know, wrecked. I would have been like, oh my God, my core is bad. My trunk is bad. I need to lose fat. And, you know, flash forward to present day, I'm able to say, hey, guess what? I need to lose, you know, in quotations here, heavy quotations. I need to quote unquote lose 11 and a half pounds, but damn, I have a really strong core. Like, I'm really proud of my trunk, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if you think about it, it's also like a quick reframe too, right? Of like, of just looking at it of, yeah, my core is really strong, which is going to be that much better for me for life in general, but also to have a child and bring a child into the world and everything. And so it's like just like a reframe, a different way of looking at it that has a totally different effect downstream. I just think to say that like your legs weren't strong is just such a, just doesn't make any sense to me. I can't get past that. I also like, yeah, just want to note, I'm pretty sure that like, had he known you were pregnant, you shouldn't have even gotten on the InBody scan to begin with, but that's besides
the point. Right. So I didn't even, like, that didn't register in my brain. I don't remember if it was you who said that to me on Instagram, but someone was like, well, you know, when you're pregnant, that's probably not accurate because the way I'm assuming it's because like the water distribution in my body is like funky when I'm pregnant.
Yeah, that part. I think that part, and I think, but I also just think it's like contraindicated, but I could be wrong on that. I don't remember, but I'm like, it also just wouldn't make sense to, I don't know, I just would do things differently.
It was
but
so
again,
wrong.
He probably just really didn't know, like, benefit of the doubt. Again, it's something that is so systemic. And I think that as, you know, people who are body neutral professionals or non-diet professionals have come from a place of curiosity and leave with education of doing exactly what you did, of like talking about it and saying like, here's why I would not do this, or, you know, why this doesn't work for me, can be so beneficial. Because unfortunately, like, the fitness world is just behind in these things. And just as it took dietetics a little bit of a moment to like catch up to the intuitive eating, non-diet, health at every size space, so does the fitness industry. And right now it's just currently like we're starting to like, you're starting to see it, but it's unfortunately just like still a little behind and needs, you know, people like us advocating for body neutral approaches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, I especially want to say like me for sure, but also like you, like being in Orange Theory, like I feel like you're on the front lines of like the potential like disordered behaviors that are happening in the fitness industry. And like, I'm just really happy to know, like, I can be proud of at least one personal trainer out there, you know? Okay, we need to talk about socks. Socks are kind of my love language. When I am feeling stressed or grumpy, I put fuzzy, comfy socks on. And when I am feeling unmotivated or like I don't want to go for a run, I put some fun, super spiffy designed socks on. And all of a sudden, I am like so excited to go running. I am recently obsessed with Sock Guy. If you don't know about Sock Guy, you need to run on over to sockguy.com. Check out all of the amazing designs. My socks today, I totally was not in the mood to do my tempo workout. I put my smiley face socks on and I was looking in the mirror just getting so excited, and I jumped on the treadmill and I knocked out 5 miles of speed work. I mean, it's basically because of Sock Guy. But besides just having fun designs, I also love how moisture wicking and comfortable these socks are. I don't know about you, but I wore cotton socks forever as a runner, and cotton socks gave me blisters. They would get wet and nasty when it was rainy outside. And Sock Guy keeps my feet dry, keeps my feet warm. They even have wool socks for hiking. And the designs are fun, which is honestly my favorite part. If you want to check out Sock Guy and save 20% on your order, use the code SERENA20. My name is spelled S-E-R-E-N-A, just like the tennis player. Serena20 at checkout will save you 20% off sockeye.com. Sam, I'm kind of curious, like, so having had this experience as like a thin, you know, healthy woman, and to have this kind of like negative experience with the personal trainer, I feel like it has to be really common for people to be leaving these appointments and feeling really shitty about themselves. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, what advice do you have if somebody listening to this is like, oh yeah, my personal trainer like tore me a new one, or like tore me apart, or, you know, didn't say things that I wanted to hear? Like, how do we kind of like repair from that moment so that we don't like lose interest in fitness or feel so down on ourselves that we don't take action? Like, how do we kind of move forward from this experience?
Give yourself credit for just going into a gym. Like, that is the first, like, hardest step, is sometimes just taking that first step and stepping in the door. So give yourself so much credit for that. 2, don't let any one person dictate how you feel about yourself, like, period. And especially not not a personal trainer, not a doctor, not anyone, because again, you know yourself best. And ultimately, like, these trainers are probably well-intentioned of, they just want to get you in for personal training. They want to sell you a personal training product. And personal training can be wonderful. But a couple of things. Number one, shop around, right? If that person says something to you that you don't like, there's a billion other trainers out there. Find someone else. You should pick someone that you want to hang out with, that you want to spend an hour of your day with, that clicks with your personality and your vibe and is going to jive with your goals and what you stand for and your values and all of that. And so shop around. There are other body neutral personal trainers like myself out there. Just have to look for them, but they do exist. And I think just reminding yourself that that InBody scan was one point in, or weight or whatever was one point in time, one day. It's not completely accurate. There's a lot of variance to them. And that, again, these are just numbers. They're like you versus gravity. Might have been like how much water is in your system. Like, don't let any of that get you down, because it's literally just numerical values. And it doesn't take away from the potentials of all these other reasons to work out and to train, or, you know, strength training in particular, whatever those things are. There are so many more benefits to it than just numbers. I don't use a scale with my clients. I don't ask them about it. I haven't stepped on one in a very long time, and they're all having fun, enjoying it, getting stronger. And we see that day in and day out, and they tell me that. And I know that that's true for even people who are coming from a place where they've started with it because they had this experience or whatnot. The other thing is too, is that in the future you can refuse. Like, you do not have to do it, like, flat out. It has nothing to do with how they're going to program for you, has nothing to do with whether or not they're going to try to sell you on personal training. It's literally just like a jab that they're trying to use to, like, get you to come back in the door. And it's a shitty one at that, but, like, you can refuse it. You don't have to do it. It has nothing to do with them. And quite frankly, probably, like, their bosses don't actually care whether it happens or not either.
Yeah, I love that advice. Like, just say no. And, you know, I in the past would have just said no, but I was kind of curious to, like, have the undercover experience, because I've had so many clients come to me with, you know, their disordered eating origin story being based in this personal trainer experience. And I was like, I wonder, like, what goes on? And I was kind of like, oh, I really get it. I really understand.
I shop around. I've done it too. I lie most of the time and tell people I, like, work in PR or something. I don't even say I'm a personal trainer. I just, like, flat out lie. So I do it all the time too. But yeah, you don't have to do it. Like, it's really not required of them or of you. And it's okay. You don't even have to give them a reason. You can just say, like, I don't really feel like this has anything to do with my goals in the gym. I would prefer not.
I love that. Yeah, having the script. Literally, like, write that down and practice saying it in the mirror and head into your personal trainer assessment and, like, just have that, like, roll off the tip of your tongue. Do you feel like it's worth then asking, you know, at the gym, like, hey, are any of your personal trainers, do they happen to be, like, body neutral personal trainers? Is there other things that a body neutral personal trainer would call themselves so that they could kind of be like, do you have a body neutral personal trainer? Do you have a blah, blah, blah personal trainer?
It's a good question. I think that, like, I've seen a lot of different words used of, like, body neutral, of body autonomous. I've seen, like, weight neutral, or like, all bodies personal trainer. I think usually, like, somebody, if I should put it this way, usually the sales associates at the gyms who are selling your memberships should know the personal trainers best. And so, like, yeah, it's good questions to ask them. You could also ask the fitness director, and you could say, like, hey, I want someone who's not going to weigh me at the gym, or isn't going to put a strong emphasis on me losing weight at the gym, because that's not my goal. Do you have a recommendation for a personal trainer that I should work with? The other thing is too, is to just, like, if you're in a big box gym setting where you see personal trainers around you, talk to them, like, ask them questions. You could literally ask them, because they're probably also, like, zoning around the room, like, looking. And so, like, for if they're, like, building their clients, there's, like, a whole thing to this. But ask and talk to them, have conversations with them, say, like, hey, what is your stance on this, what is your approach? And if it's something you vibe with, then it might be something to go forward. I also think that most trainers aren't intentionally trying to put a lot of emphasis on weight loss or weight stigmatization. There definitely are some bad ones out there. Like, don't get me wrong, there are. But I think for the most part, they just haven't been educated on another approach yet. They just haven't been told that people train for other reasons. They just haven't been taught that you can want to strength train and have nothing to do with your body size or what it looks like. And so I would just ask around and say, like, hey, this is what I want to work on. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. And I think that many of them will be very respectful of that. And if they're not, get a new one.
Yeah, Sam, that was really helpful. Like, I think just kind of knowing that you can ask for that and that there are providers out there. And I think we are becoming more and more popular. And yeah, I think that was such a good point. Even if they don't like call themselves like weight neutral or haze aligned, like it doesn't mean that they're not accidentally aligned with that belief system, right? Like it's probably actually more common, even if they're not like understanding what they're preaching, right?
Right.
So I think that is such a fabulous idea. Because I got signed up through the like dude who like got me to join the gym. So like, yeah. I'm sure asking that question to him would have been the best resource for me. So that's really, really good advice.
Yeah, I think just ask around and don't be afraid. Like my own personal trainer who I've known for many years, I've worked with him for probably 10 years now, has seen me go from disordered to not disordered to weight inclusive, you know, body neutral. And like he never has outright said this is my approach, but he also doesn't ever bring it up. Like he never once asks me about it, or we don't like – and it's not like it's a taboo topic because believe me, he knows like where I am in my cycle most of the time with my training. like that's how close we are, right? Like yeah. He can like tell, like, but like we don't talk about that stuff because it doesn't have anything to do with why I'm there.
Yeah. And you know, I do want to acknowledge like Sam and I are both in thin bodies. So like, I think for us to bring up these topics, maybe it feels a little bit more comfortable because we don't feel like maybe some of that judgment that those who live in larger bodies feel. And so I get that this conversation, I mean, honestly, the conversation is probably going to feel a little awkward for everyone because it's just like not the quote unquote norm. I don't know if this is helpful for you, the person listening to this, but whenever I feel awkward about like rocking the crop top or like asking not to be weighed at the doctor's office, I always think like I'm doing this for someone else. Like I'm doing this for younger Serena who needed a role model. I'm doing this for like the next woman who comes into the doctor's office and like needs someone to have set the stage for not being weighed. So like, I don't know if that, I don't think that's useful for everyone. I think some people are maybe not ready to be in like that role model stage. But for me, that's very encouraging for me to be like, this feels a little awkward, but like, you know what? I'm not the only one who wants the world to be this way. And like, I'm going to go first. And so I don't know, Sam, do you have any advice for someone who's sitting there and is like, I'm scared I'm going to get judged if I ask that question?
I love that so much, the way you put it, because even I myself do get like scared to say it at the doctor of like, actually, can we like not? Like I even have those moments. But I do think what you said of like asking it for someone else, like whether it is your younger self or someone else in your life. But I also remind myself that like you're not the first person to say this. You're not. Mm. You're probably not the first person to ask it either. And I always tell myself this, it's only awkward if you make it awkward kind of thing. But like step into your power and advocate for yourself. It is okay to say these things, right? Like if you were in a different position, you could do that. My therapist, you might have to cut this out. My therapist always says, Sam, put on your white man pants and do it that way. Like what would they do? You know, and that's, and I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what would they do? Okay. They would just ask for it. And so that's what we're going to do. And so it's okay to advocate for yourself. We should want to advocate and stand up for ourselves. And I really think that, again, come from a place of curiosity, leave with education. And if you can do it in that kind of way, I think that people will be much more respectful and of it. And if they're not, yep, find someone else.
Dude, you know what I love? I think we're like, we just came full circle so hard of like, you know, kind of the point of this podcast is like, don't give your power away to a stupid body scan a piece of equipment, a scale. And, you know, we're kind of encouraging you to like reach within yourself, use internal validation to make choices that feel right for you. And this is like the ultimate way, like you said, like step into your power, like advocate for yourself, like be your own best friend, teammate, whatever you want to call it. Like, and so, yeah, it's going to feel awkward and uncomfortable because as a woman, we've been conditioned to always like be submissive and search for the external validation to get permission. And now it's like, you know, put those pants on and like move forward in the world and like set that example for yourself. So I think that is so badass. I'm like obsessed with this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Like take up space, do it. Like you deserve to be there. Like just, it's like something else I love about strength training is it makes you want to step into that power and like do that. Like step into it, say it, do it. Like it's going to work out.
Ugh, oh my God. I like already went to the gym today and like I want to go back now.
I love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sam. I will definitely put in the show notes how people can follow you and all the things. But is there anything you wanted to share, like a resource you have, a way to contact you if they have a question?
I just would love to talk about this more. And if you happen to be a personal trainer, like listening to this, that want to learn more about like body neutral approaches, like I am your gal. I would love to talk about it. I do have an ACSM webinar you can find, but in general, you can connect with me on Instagram on AAA Wellness by Sam. And I just really appreciate being here and having this conversation. I love that I got to talk about kind of both sides of this because I think it's really important and it's something that I'm very passionate about. So appreciate you being here. But yeah, let's connect.
Thank you. Have a good day, Sam. Thanks for being here.
Me too.
Okay, so Sam and I just hung up and then we started talking more and she said something that was so like golden and empowering. I was like, hold on, we have to press record and just like talk about this one more time. So basically I was like, hey, Sam, like I just feel so lifted up and so encouraged by that conversation. Like I just think this is, you know, this is the way that things should be going. And Sam shared a little tidbit about like her experience working in like a big box gym. So hoping you could just share that.
Yeah, I was just saying how I appreciate being here so much because I have worked in so many gyms where like weighing has been the norm. And like 10 years ago when I was working for a big box gym, I literally had to say to my boss, like, I will not be doing that when they expected us to weigh every single person and to get an in-body scan on every single person in the gym, which I was like, first of all, that is absolutely ridiculous. That is information that we don't need. And literally, even back then, this was before I was working really with eating disorders, disordered eating, or any body image stuff, I was like, you don't know what somebody is going through. You have no idea how this is going to affect someone. Like, we are not, I'm not doing that. And I said, like, I'm just not. And you can take it or leave it. It is what it is. And I worked for another gym that said, we're going to do the same thing and put everyone on the in-body as they walk through the door. And I said, the hell we are. I will not do that. And if you want me to stay in this job, I'm not doing that. So I'll leave if that's going to be the rule. So like I just wish more people knew that they could stand up and do that and that they have that power and that like it has nothing to do with how you train a client anyway, like also from a training side, but like from the client side too, like it's just so unnecessary. And so like I love that we get to have this conversation because I just think it's so important and I just hope a lot of people listen to it and just know that it's there and that we need change too.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add that in real quick because like if Sam could literally like risk losing her job and being like, listen, like I draw the line here. I don't know. It just like encourages me not to feel silly when I'm setting that boundary for myself. Like literally you are so educated. Like you are really good at your job. You've been in this industry for 10 plus years. Like you know what you're talking about. And so if you feel confident to be like, absolutely not, I'm not doing a scale, I'm not doing an in-body assessment, then like I should feel confident also setting that boundary for myself of like, sorry, personal trainer, I will not be weighed. Sorry, doctor, I will not be weighed. Like, I don't know. That just like really kind of gives me some confidence knowing that you were willing to like put that on the line as well.
Yeah. And I love the way you just said that of like, sorry, so-and-so, I will not be weighed. Period. Hard stop. Like you don't have to disclose anything. I think I always feel like I have to like add an explanation for why. You don't. Like it can just be, I don't want to do that. Hard stop. So yeah, you absolutely can.
And like, it might feel awkward in your head. Like you might be like, this is weird. But like, if you just like count to 10, it's going to move on. Like the conversation progresses. No one's thinking about it anymore. Nobody cares. So it's just like, give yourself like, and maybe you don't feel awkward at all, which good. I don't want you to, but if it does feel weird, literally just count to 10. And I promise you, they'll be on to the next thing.
100%. Yeah. I love that. Or like, give yourself a 3, 2, 1, say it, move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Thank you, Sam, for re-recording. I'm going to let you go now. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dear Runner Bod. If you enjoyed what you heard, remember to subscribe and make sure you share today's episode. Also, if you're looking to download a free 3-step guide to love your runner's bod, then head to serenamarierd.com. Can't wait to chat with you next week.